The debate about the use of drugs in sport, in this case the use of peptides, as outlined by the Crime Commission recently, has really focused on eradicating them from the broader game. But what about the contrarian view, that is, open and honest doping, or as HG would say, the chemical games? Our next guest says athletes should be allowed to use any performance-enhancing drug as long as it doesn't jeopardise their health. Julian Savulescu is an Australian philosopher and a professor of applied ethics at Oxford University. Julian Savulescu, welcome to Breakfast.
Morning.
You're really swimming against the tide here, advocating not more testing, but in fact more drug-taking. Why have you adopted this view?
I've been looking at this for about 10 years, and it was apparent 10 years ago that doping was extremely rife, especially in cycling and athletics, but in any sport where strength, endurance and so on are important. And it's been obvious that the war on drugs has been failing. We've been told in the early 2000s there were tests. We were told at the last Olympics there were tests, but Lance Armstrong never failed a test. What they're trying to do at the moment is pick up a single molecule of testosterone or growth hormone or these so-called peptides, and that's just impossible. It's like saying, you know, instead of having a blood alcohol of 0.05, we want to be able to pick up a single molecule of ethanol. Not just a small amount, but a single molecule, and that's what we're aiming to do.
But it's not failing necessarily, is it? I mean, they've caught Lance Armstrong. Took a while, but you know they are perfecting or improving rather, not perfecting, improving their testing all the time, and catching up and catching cheats.
Well, time will tell whether they really are improving. History has shown that they haven't been. The only reason that they caught Lance Armstrong was because they essentially, the USADA, went on a kind of religious vendetta against him and coerced about 10 of his teammates in testifying. They didn't actually pick him up through any of their testing controls.
Your position is instead of zero tolerance, what should be regulated is the level of drugs an athlete can take to ensure their health is safeguarded. And I think you use Lance Armstrong as an example here of why that makes perfect sense. Tell us more.
Well, you've had a natural experiment over the last 15 years in cycling of how much doping you can take and still not jeopardise your health. I mean, basically, most of the cyclists in the Tour de France have been taking EPO to raise the red blood cell level in their blood and carry more oxygen, or even having transfusions of their own blood back, or taking growth hormone or testosterone, and they've been beating the tests because they've been taking small amounts. So we know that the levels that they've been taking are consistent with healthy performance. So if we simply kept the current levels but stopped trying to ramp up the war and detect even, you know, smaller amounts of these doping agents, we would be in a good position. We've already got essentially the endpoints, the physiological endpoints.
Do we?
And so we don't need to ramp up the war as people want to do. We just need to say if, as long as they're within these boundaries, it's safe enough.
Do we know that it's safe enough? I mean, you say we're seeing they're consistent with healthy levels. Is that really what we're seeing? Aren't we only seeing on the face of it that they're consistent with good performances? We don't really know, do we, necessarily, whether there are health impacts of this. Who's measuring that? Who's reporting that?
Well, if you look at historical surveys of professional cyclists who have always doped since cycling was around, in fact, it didn't used to be illegal, they actually live longer than the average population. So maybe there are some long-term effects, but as far as you know, the evidence that we have shows, it's much safer than actually professional sport itself. You've got to remember that people have their necks broken playing rugby, they die by being hit by cars and in training for cycling, they die in Australian rules football. You don't see these people dropping dead of taking steroids and growth hormone and blood doping these days with the sorts of limits that are in place.
No, but it's a movable feast. I mean, we did see some terrible health effects from some of the Soviet athletes who took in hormones and steroids.
Yeah, you saw terrible effects with early cancer drugs too. I mean, that was in the 1970s when steroids were given orally and had severe liver effects. What you see today is nothing like the sort of doping that occurred in the East German athletes. Women were turned into men. I mean, it's easy to pick up those side effects if you're looking for them today.
My point is, though, at what point do you say this drug is okay? Because then someone will come to another drug that gives them another edge and it might be a bit further outside the guidelines.
Well, of course, there'll always be new agents, and we're faced with that problem today. The point is, where do you set the goalposts? What are you actually looking for? What are you trying to pick up? I mean, we've already had, again, an experiment with caffeine. It used to be banned because it increases the time to exhaustion by 10%. It's now off the ban list. Nobody seems to have been harmed, and it hasn't changed the nature of sport. And we could do that with a lot of other current doping agents. So we've already allowed doping in the form of caffeine, and I don't see consistently why we shouldn't think on a case-by-case basis about each drug that's available. Of course, there'll be things that are so dangerous we should try to hunt them down, but there's only limited resources, and the smaller the list, the easier it is to pick them up.
It's 3 minutes to 8 on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Julian Savulescu, an Australian philosopher and professor of applied ethics at Oxford University. Within the ethics paradigm, by advocating open doping, you're in a sense admitting that the drug cheats have won, that testing and bans are a waste of time. So you're basically encouraging people to have accepted that operating outside the rules, we may as well just dump the rules. Where's the ethical line there?
Well, actually, the rules are mistaken. The idea that performance enhancement itself is wrong is a total mistake. The whole of sport is about performance enhancement. It's about modifying diet. If we call these substances, or if these were available in the diet, everyone would be in favour of them. The fact that they happen to be artificial reproductions of natural hormones in the body makes no morally relevant difference. So I think the whole basis of these anti-doping rules is a mistake. What you should be looking for is their effects on health, or whether they change something fundamental to some particular sport, like, for example, removing pain in boxing or removing tremor in archery or pistol shooting. But steroids help people recover. They help people train harder. It's hard for me to see how this is inimical to the spirit of sport. We're always trying to be better, and that's why people have taken doping agents ever since the first Olympics and the first, you know, professional sport.
You're, in a sense, making different classes there. The ones that the beta blockers that might calm your hand, the tremor in your hand as you're taking the shot at archery, you'd rule out, but the ones that give you a better recovery rate, you'd rule in. What's your view then of the Australian Crime Commission report, which zeroed in on these peptides and tried to raise the alarm? I think that was the point of it, about the use of peptides, some of which are all about unleashing elements within our own bodies.
Yeah, the peptides just cause you to release more growth hormone. I mean, they themselves naturally produce. I mean, of course, you know, the involvement of organised crime is something that you know, is a problem with any black market and needs to be eradicated. And I think, you know, Australia is stuck with international rules, so there's not much that they can do except try to pursue a war on doping. My point is that perhaps they want to try to lead a more rational and open approach to the problem and rethink the rules. I mean, eventually, we're going to have to think of a different approach if we keep losing this war, and ask what are really the values that are important in sport and what do we really want to preserve. I mean, if you gave people bionic limbs or blades, as Oscar Pistorius had, that would change the nature of sport. But when you give Shane Warne some testosterone to help him overcome a shoulder injury, I don't think that's a cause to ban somebody for a year.
Okay, Julian Savulescu, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Turning on its head, really, the debate about drugs in sport. And then you have to ask the question, if everyone was doping, if it was allowed, would it change the way we watch sport? Julian Savulescu is an Australian philosopher, professor of applied ethics at Oxford University. And after 8, we're going to go inside the Olympic swimming team. Those two reports yesterday outline what went wrong at the Olympics, talked about the culture, a culture of bullying and misbehaving, really. We'll be joined by Kieran Perkins and sports psychologist Jeff Bond. It's 8 o'clock.